What's going on, everybody? I can't hear myself because I'm trying to. Nah, I just shut off the music. Didn't mean to do that. Anyway, what's going on, everybody? My name is Steve. The show is called Wake Up America. We started a little bit early because I was running out of steam. I'm getting over being sick for like 6 days. So today or yesterday, I kind of thought I was out of the woods. And then this morning I woke up and I was like, oh, I'm not quite yet, but I'm feeling okay now. The fever's gone. Everything's gone except the headache. The headache just comes and goes. That's why I'm standing right now trying to get some blood circulating and stuff like that. For anyone that doesn't know, my name is Steve Oatley. I host this show called Wake Up America. It is your unfiltered dose into, and I'm going to clarify this, my view on what's going on in America. Doesn't mean it's the right view. It's my view on what's going on in America. And I want to clarify that because a lot of people are confused at what that really means. You know, it's nice to meet you. If you're just tuning in or you're just watching this show, it's going to be a little bit different than some of the other ones I've done, just because I'm kind of tired of the bullshit that's going on in our media. I'm tired of the BS that's going on and all the chats and all that stuff. So I'm not reading any of the chats. And going forward, I'm only reading the chats for PTNN and Citizen Stringer. Not today, just because I don't have them up and I got a lot to try to go through in a relatively short time. But as always, our show sponsor for this week and always is SpartanArmorSystems.com. If you use code YEETYEET, you get 10% off your body armor order. Now, they have some awesome body armor. You can see it there. They also got really nice hats and stuff. I've got some other plates back there from Spartan Armor Systems, Arizona-based company. They have awesome products, big I can't even say enough about them. They're awesome. So check them out at SpartanArmorSystems.com and use code YEETYEET and get 10% off your order. All right, let's jump right into it today. So I'm going to talk. Here's some breaking news that just happened a little bit ago, which is, well, they just announced it within the past hour. For anyone that didn't know, they've arrested the two scumbags that shot the Chicago police officer. Well, it shot two of them, killing one. And it turns out these are them. They're both brothers, Eric Morgan and Edmont Morgan. According to CBS Chicago, two brothers have been charged in connection with the fatal shooting of Chicago police officer Ella French and for critically wounding another officer. Edmonte Morgan, a.k.a. Monte Morgan, 21, is charged with first-degree murder of a peace officer, attempted first-degree murder of a peace officer, two counts, and aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and unlawful use of a weapon by a felon. Eric Morgan, 22, is charged with aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, unlawful use of a weapon by a felon, and obstruction of justice for his role in the alleged crime. A third person, who was a woman in the car who also fled the shooting, was not charged, according to Police Superintendent David Brown, which I'm not quite sure why they didn't charge her. They should have. French was killed and her partner seriously wounded on Saturday when they were shot after pulling over Morgan's car in West Inglewood. Edmonte Brown struggled with Officer French from the trunk near the inside of the car. He was originally seated in the front passenger seat, according to police. A third individual, Jamal Danzy, 29 years old, has been charged by the U.S. Attorney's Office with federal firearm violations. He's accused of buying the weapon and then providing the gun to Eric Morgan, who Danzy knew was a felon but not allowed to buy guns. And bought the gun for somebody else. Officers with the community safety team conducted a traffic stop around 9 p.m. near 63rd Street and Bell Avenue in West Inglewood on Saturday when the gunfire broke out. CBS2 has learned at the time of the shooting, one officer was standing near the driver's side door. The other was near the passenger side door. According to sources, Monte Morgan shot both officers. A third officer shot back, wounding him. Brown said Monday evening that the wounded officer is in critical condition but is improving, so that's very good. So that's just good news out of Chicago, these two scumbags. Hopefully they'll spend the rest of life in jail. What's ironic, or not ironic, they were both on probation again. And everyone goes for bail reform and talks about this and, oh, how we have to be super lenient with, career criminals. Well, these guys were both on probation, and they killed a cop and tried to kill another one. I think it's important for everyone to realize this is the reason why we have to support police. You know, if you're someone that doesn't like police, just get off the page. It's not, it's, you know, don't watch the show. Don't listen to the podcast. It's not worth it. I'm not going to bother myself trying to appease all everyone. If you notice I'm wearing the Portland Police hat, the Portland Police Bureau or Portland Police Association hat, because I'm steadfast supporting those guys. We're going to talk a lot about Portland in a little bit. I'm just going to get through some of these other news articles. Because I mean, well, whatever. We'll talk about that in a second. Now, have any of you guys heard about this story? This is kind of weird. A racist racist rock was removed from a college campus after a black student union activist complained about it. Yeah. Yeah. So apparently, and I'm not going to read the whole article, in October 1925, the university had a boulder excavated and placed prominently atop a hill to honor Chamberlain, who would die in Chicago 3 years later. Chamberlain Rock, which rests atop the atop the Observatory Hill, is named after a 19th century geologist and former university president, Thomas Crowder Chamberlain, whose work centered on glacier deposits, according to the bio on the website. What's crazy is in the 1920s, a slang term was used to describe large rocks included the N-word, and it appears coverage of the rock's installation. So basically, there's a slang word. Well, I can't imagine. In the 1920s, they used the N-word as slang for a rock, and they apparently used that in some promotional material in 1920. So after, what is it now, 100 years, the activists finally got this rock removed because it was causing them so much. It was a racist rock. I mean, this is stupid. It shouldn't even be a story, but it is. Fox News outlined the racism of the rock. Oh my God. So what makes a rock allegedly racist? In the 1920s, a journalist used a racist term to describe the large boulder. So a journalist used a term to describe the boulder, and therefore it's a big racist rock. Look at that racist. That's a racist rock right there. For anyone that's listening on the podcast later, it's literally a picture of a giant boulder. That's it. Nothing else, just a picture of a giant boulder that apparently has now been removed because it was racist. Was it because it was tan? Isn't that racist to say that it's racist? I don't know anymore. I don't know. How about this one? You guys see this article I put out earlier today? A candidate for office threatens to shoot the unvaccinated. And this is true. Granted, if you try to comment on his page, he'll block you completely like he did with me. Anyway, a California congressional candidate running as an independent for California's 39th District C argues that he should be able to shoot those who choose not to get vaccinated. Steve Cox, he's a failed representative, ran in 2020 and lost horribly. And when I say lost horribly, he lost horribly. He garnished 4% of the entire vote. Very, very bad politician, or very a bad attempted politician, because he still wasn't able to do it. But he's running again. Anyway, he posted the message to his Twitter page, which is @RealSteveCox, writing, "Whenever anyone says we all die from something or a variation thereof to justify not taking precautions to help protect others in this pandemic, we should be allowed to shoot them." Unbelievable. After facing immediate backlash from his idiotic and dangerous comment, Cox doubled down, replying to a tweet from Blaze TV's Elijah Schaefer saying, "You endanger me or my family, you get what you get." Seemingly oblivious that theory would apply to any one of the millions of people that he just threatened, literally. Because that same thing would apply to, say, a family member of someone that's unvaccinated that's now worried that this crazy, stupid politician from California, aspiring politician from California, is going to shoot them because they're unvaccinated. That, my friends, is a threat on everybody that chooses not to get vaccinated. Whether you have health reasons why you can't get vaccinated, whatever the reason is, this man thinks you should not be able to live. That is where we're going. In America, that is where we're going. And this is real. Cox, who previously ran for the 39th seat in 2020, failed horribly in primaries, garnishing just 4.8% of the total vote. It's insane. Insane. And I hope you guys share these articles out too. That one didn't take a lot of time, but April spends a lot more time than I do writing these articles, and Billy as well, or Lauren. So I would really appreciate it. If you see these articles on Citizen Stringer, or you see them on our social media when we share them out all the time, just share them. You know, even if you read it, you know, just share it right before you read it and then read it, or share it right after. You can click all these fancy things at the top of the articles down here, which you can't see right there. Click all those and you can share out to whatever social media platform you need. It just helps us be able to keep reporting the truth. Also in international news, and we'll switch back, still domestic news, whatever. U.S. Embassy in Kabul urges all Americans to leave Afghanistan immediately. The U.S. Embassy urged all U.S. citizens to leave Afghanistan immediately using available commercial flight options, given the security conditions and reduced staffing. The embassy's ability to assist U.S. citizens in Afghanistan is extremely limited within Kabul. Or Kabul? Kabul? I don't know. Whatever. The embassy said in a security alert on its website over the weekend, they advise U.S. citizens to enroll in the State Department's Smart Traveler program, which would enable them to receive security updates and emergency notices. It would also ensure notification in the event of any evacuation flights and available assistance. However, the embassy reiterates U.S. citizens should leave Afghanistan as soon as possible using commercial transportation and not plan or and. Do not plan on using U.S. government flights. Do not rely on U.S. government flights, it said. In April 2021, the State Department ordered the departure of government employees whose functions could be performed elsewhere due to increasing violence in Kabul. In recent days, the Taliban has taken over large areas across the country, including the northern city of Kunduz on August 8th. Kunduz is the third of five provincial capitals that the group has captured. On August 6th, the Taliban ambushed and killed the director of Afghanistan's government media center on Friday in Kabul and captured its first provincial, and seized that capital. Al Jazeera reported on Saturday, August 7th, that the Taliban captured Jezawan's capital city. I'm not even trying to pronounce these things. I'm sorry. Read the article. It says it all right there. The embassy statement also warned the travel advisory for Afghanistan remains at a level 4. Do not travel due to crime, terrorism, civil unrest, kidnapping, armed conflict, and COVID-19. Sounds like America. But it's not. That's Afghanistan. Really weird. Domestic flights and ground transportation routes really did sound like America. That's how they're describing Afghanistan. Think about that. Crime is rampant in America right now. Terrorism. Terrorist attacks happen all the time. They just don't want to clarify them as terrorist attacks. If Antifa attacks women and children on a Saturday daytime event in Portland, Oregon, that's a terror attack. They pretend it's not. Like, to me, a terror attack is when people kill police. That's a terror attack as well. But again, people don't believe that. Civil unrest, well, yeah, all the time here in America. Kidnappings happen all the time here in America. Armed conflict, have you been to a city lately? And COVID-19, you know, the flu. It's happening all over America too. But apparently that's a level 4 threat assessment if you're overseas when that happens. Unbelievable, whatever. Here's an interesting one too. Austin judge signs order to block arrests of Democrats who refuse to return to Texas Capitol. So for many, I'm not even going to go through the whole article right now. For many who don't realize, a while ago, there was a push in Texas, in the Texas state legislature, to essentially, you know, strengthen the election integrity laws of that state. Well, a bunch of Democratic lawmakers from that state fled that state on a private jet to D.C., where they protested and basically broke quorum and would not allow any of the votes to pass in that state. Now, since then, the governor has issued, told them they'll all be arrested and cabined inside the Capitol until they actually do their damn job. They're elected by the people. They should be doing their job. And they're not going to do it. They filed this lawsuit, and I actually read the first couple of pages of the lawsuit. I think it was Friday or Saturday. They say it's racist, you know, that the Republicans are being racist against them because they're white and all this weird, you know, self-entitled political bullshit. And that's why politicians should be allowed to have one term. I don't even think two terms anymore. I think one term and you're out. And you got to go back to the real world where you were probably not successful anyway. But now a judge, an activist judge, decided that, hey, you know what? We'll put a stay on this so that that way if the Texas Democrats do come back, they won't get arrested. They don't need to do their job, but now at least they can come back and visit their constituents and whatever the case may be there. It's so stupid. His order applies to the Texas House of Sergeant-at-Arms, the Texas Department of Public Safety, the Texas Rangers, Capitol Police, and other law enforcement agencies. It's so nutty. On Friday, 22 of the 57 political fugitives who broke quorum filed a lawsuit in Austin federal court seeking a temporary restraining order to block Abbott and their attorney general, I believe, from taking any act. No, that who is that? I don't know. It doesn't say. I'm not sure. To block Abbott from... Lost my place. Anyway, they filed that temporary restraining order, or request for a temporary restraining order, which is what the judge granted today. Now, we gave them 14 days. So on what is it, August 20th, I believe. Yeah, August 20th, the Republicans have to make their case on why this lawsuit shouldn't stand and why the Democrats should have to do their job. Isn't that amazing? That's what our court system and our politicians do now, is that the Republicans have to answer this judge and say, hey, listen, why do we think they should do their job? Because they were elected to do a job. The reason, and it's really funny because the Senate Democrats these Texas lawmakers, the reason why they fled Texas is because GOP has the majority there, so they're able to pass these bills. Now the Texas Democrats don't agree with these bills, right? So what do? They flee the state and they set a precedent, right, where you can get away with it. Now keep in mind, our Senate and our House is completely. You know, they have a Democratic majority in our House, and our Senate is pretty much locked with the vote of Kamala Harris, our vice president. So imagine if Republicans did that. Hell, because Republicans are evil even for, you know, going along with a constitutional process and objecting to electorates. But can you imagine if you can't do it? I think Nancy Pelosi put something in place where if you don't vote, it doesn't work. You're just cast as a no vote, and the yeas get it. It's insane. But that's politics in America for you right now. It really is. And here's another one talking about COVID. All U.S. troops, this came from a memo today with the Associated Press. All U.S. troops must get vaccinated by September 15th. And it's mandatory. Now, this is all active duty troops, National Guard, and reserves. If they follow the state orders, so if the state orders it, then they have to comply based on those guidances, unless they are, what is that, Article 10 or something, unless they go active. I think someone said Title 10, whatever, I don't know. But watch, and it comes as no surprise on Monday when it was reported that the Pentagon will require members of the U.S. military to get the COVID-19 vaccine by September 15th. The memo, which was expected, and I believe it did go out, was expected to go out earlier today, is lockstep in line with President Biden's directives for federal employees and contractors and his broader push to get state and local governments and private businesses to institute similar policies, except for one major difference. They have to. They're mandating these vaccines to these troops. They don't get to say, oh, I don't want to get it. I'll just get that nasal swab up, from what I understand. The overall goal is to make the unvaccinated as uncomfortable and inconvenienced as possible, enough to convince them to get the jab voluntarily, a notion that many in the administration and the mainstream media openly opine. However, when it comes to the military, there's no option except to comply. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin wrote, I will seek the president's approval to make the vaccines mandatory no later than mid-September or immediately upon licensure by the Food and Drug Administration, whichever comes first. Austin also laid out the case for faster implementation if he feels the infection rates are jeopardizing military readiness. You know what's jeopardizing military readiness? Lloyd Austin, Joe Biden, and the rest of the current administration. That is really jeopardizing military readiness. Oh, my goodness. He said, Austin said he will not hesitate to act sooner or recommend a different course to the president if he feels the need to do so. To defend this nation, we will need to be a healthy and ready force, he says. Guess what? I don't think we're healthy as a country as it stands right now. So I can only imagine what our military is actually feeling every single day. I would love to have ears in the military to hear what those guys are, you know, guys and gals that are in uniform every day. I would love to hear what they think about what's going on in their country. These forced mandates and all that stuff that's currently taking place in cities and states and schools and everything around the country. It's unbelievable. According to the memo, the AP reports that the military services will have the next few weeks to prepare, determine how many vaccines they need, and how the mandate will be implemented. In order for Austin to issue a mandatory vaccination order while the vaccine is still pending full FDA approval, President Biden would have to sign off on the waiver. The Pentagon says that it will comply with Biden's order for additional restrictions on any federal personnel who have not been vaccinated. Those restrictions include wearing masks, social distancing, and travel limits. Some service members can seek an exemption from any vaccine, either temporary or permanent. The exemptions range from health issues to religious beliefs. The Army also notes that if a soldier fails to comply with a lawful order to receive a mandatory vaccine and does not have an approved exemption, a commander may take appropriate disciplinary action. Military officials have said once the vaccine is mandated, a refusal could constitute a failure to obey in order and may be punishable under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Currently, the Pentagon states that more than 1 million troops are fully vaccinated and another 237,000 have received one shot. The Navy said more than 74% of all active duty and reserve sailors have been vaccinated with at least one shot. Meanwhile, the Air Force said that more than 65% of its active duty and 60% of reserve forces are at least partially vaccinated and that the number for the Army is closer to 50. It's insane. It really is. It's insane. You know, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about COVID and all that stuff today because, well, frankly, I don't care anymore. You know, our countries are locking down, which was really interesting this morning in London. Protesters were out on the streets on a Monday. They were out on the streets and they were chanting, no vaccine passports, you know, save our children, all the same stuff. And you know what? What's going to happen is, I thought about it this morning. That's going to happen here. That's going to happen in America where people are just going to be like, okay, enough is enough. And they're just going to march through the streets peacefully. There was some pushing and shoving with police, but they just turned and walked away, walked to a different place, walked to a different place, walked to a different place. And that's what they did, out in the rain and everything. And that's probably what's going to happen here to a certain extent. I mean, they're already doing it. You know, 2 weeks ago, I was in Charlotte, you know, with, I don't know how many people were there, 1,500 to 3,000 hospital staff that were just opposed to being told that they have to put some foreign chemical inside their body because a lot of people just don't want to do it. It's not because they disagree, you know, this whole common concept of anti-vaxxing and it's not, I don't even know if there are people that are truly anti-vax. I think there's people that are just, they don't want to get it themselves. Anti-vax means it would be like something that you're to me at least, it means that you're proactively trying to go out and get people not to take the vaccination. I don't think that's what's going on for the most part. Maybe it is some places, but I don't think that's what's going on. I think it's most people just don't want to be told they have to do something, literally, especially because we've been dealing with this forever. And then you have doctors that get in front of the school board meetings for everyone that's on PTNN. I haven't put it on Citizen Stringer yet. Everyone that's on PTNN after this video, watch on the news brief section. There's a video, a 6-minute video of a doctor testifying between, where was it? Mount Vernon, Indiana or Illinois school board meeting. The doctor gets up and gives a 6-minute testimony and he literally, you know, he knows what he's talking about. And that video has gone extremely viral. Extremely viral. All the like social media accounts that are, you know, just are there for the clicks, they've all put it on social media. You know, I mean, there's one YouTube account that had 2,700 followers and the video had 1.5 million views and he uploaded it this morning. It's amazing, you know, but this video, it tells a lot of stuff. And here you have a well-respected doctor. It's not like one of these fringe doctors that everyone can discredit because this guy's not one of them. He's a family doctor and he specializes in infection, I believe it was. And he gets out there and he talks all about what's really going on with this vaccine, what's really going on with the NIH and CDC. So if you haven't watched that video yet, just go to ptnn.tv and you can watch it right after. It's under the news brief section. It's free for everyone. You don't need a membership. I will put it on the Citizen Stringer app once this show is done. I just forgot to do it until I just said it and I remembered I didn't do it. Speaking of the app, you guys may see a comment, all the people that have the Citizen Stringer mobile app, you may see a new poll that's out on the main landing screen. That's just for an article I'm probably going to write in the next 2 days. So if you could cast your vote, that would be awesome. What else? So should we talk about Portland? I don't even really want to do it. I'm sweating my butt off in here. It's hot as hell. It was very hot today. You know, for some reason, when we moved from Florida to Virginia, I thought that it would be cooler. And apparently we just brought the heat with us because it's hot and it's been hot every single day. Or it just could be because I'm, you know, talking so much or whatever the case may be. Who knows? But I'm going to talk about Portland. And I'm not going to show a ton of videos because I just don't want to. And this is my show. But I'm going to show a video from BCP. I do have permission to play it. So all the people that think there's this running feud between me and the Black Conservative Preacher, no, there isn't. Surprisingly, I know it's not good for the social media wars, but yeah, I'm going to play this video and I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm just going to play a second. I think you'll be able to see most of it without me having to resize my screen. But this is what took place on Saturday. So there's two different events I'm going to show you. This was Saturday in Portland, Oregon at a outdoor worshiping thing. Now there's a couple of things. You know what? Let me resize this because I wasn't going to do it, but now I think it's important for me to. Actually, I got to do it right here. Here, maybe this will help it. Oh. Thought I could make it bigger that way, but I guess I can't. Hold on. This is just in the pic. Yeah, so I'll just do that. That makes it a little bit easier to see. It's still kind of messed up, but whatever. Now you can see the video. Now, the reason why I'm going to show this is because I want you to notice a couple of things. One, tell me if you see any Proud Boys or people that were mimicking Proud Boys. We'll get into that in a minute because they're not here yet. Now, depending on which fake news outlet you want to read, whether it's a local one from Portland or whether it's Fox News, not a single one of them was actually truthful in their reporting. And I'll call out Fox News for your bullshit too. You lied. Like, it's not even about reporting something, you know, wrong. You literally lied. The truth is there. You reported something else. It's frustrating. But when I watch this video, you're going to see over here in the corner, you can kind of already see it in the corner, a smoke bomb was thrown. And then just watch what happens. It does get loud. I apologize.
Okay, they got kids here, and they got kids. Come on.
Now over here, you see a whole group of black bloc clad people. And again, we've just watched the camera for maybe 10 seconds. There's not even a single person that resembles any Proud Boy, any person that's wearing body armor, any far right wingers. Okay, but all media outlets said that this was a mutual clash, which it was not. Let's just get that straight right now. It was not. It was a group of people that were getting ready to listen to prayer and listen to a pastor from Canada that was here to preach to them when they were attacked by a violent mob of terrorists.
Where are the police at?
Do you see this little child right there? Maybe that's who they're referring to as a far right wing. Because it doesn't happen. There are no right wingers in this entire video. This is a 12 minute video, and I'm just going to skip through it. And everyone can watch this if you go to BCP Live. Hold on, that was live. If you go to BCP Live on Facebook, you could watch this video there and watch it in its entirety. I also tweeted it out the other day. But you can see here, this is Antifa later on, and he's doing a picture-in-picture thing. But you can see them. This is what actually happened on Saturday. Now, I know if you're just tuning in, you're probably like, wait, this doesn't make any sense because Fox News said it was mutual. You know, they did say, yes, all the Antifa people destroyed all the sound equipment, but they said the right-wingers were there the whole time. Well, they lied. They just flat-out lied to you. Not a single new, you know, honest news outlet reported it correctly. Not a single one, which is amazing to me. This is them smashing all the sound equipment. It's in super slow motion. That's taking a long time to load. This is them smashing. I'm not sure why the video is taking so long to try to play. Man, I don't know if Facebook's bad for anyone else. For me, Facebook, to play videos or anything lately has just sucked. Like before, it literally just crashed on me. All right, so, you know, and then later on, maybe because I paused it, it'll help a little bit. So even in this whole 12-minute video, so this shows the start of the attack all the way to the end of the attack. There's no mention whatsoever. You don't see it in the whole video. And I implore all of you guys to go watch that video video yourself. Because the one thing you will not see there is any right-wingers that march up. Now, with that said, these people start leaving. Now, even in this period, this is where it's really funny, because everyone, the other day when I made the comments about the people that came there just looking for a fight afterwards and said, you know, that to me, it's just stupid. You're not doing anything good. You're not doing anything at all to help the situation whatsoever. You literally walk up and start yelling at pastors and preachers and stuff. That still didn't even happen in this time frame, because you know why? Because if you watch the original video, when the one right-wing patriot streamer was walking up, you see that Quincy was talking to those pastors when the guy walks up and starts running his mouth to the cops and all that. At that time, the police hadn't even got here yet. And that's the amazing thing, is that this group of patriots that were going there to stop it showed up at least 20 minutes later. And then other news starts coming out, because here's the thing that doesn't make any sense, really. And I knew it because I said it right away, because they didn't seem like the PBs. But this group, there was a chant that was made from inside the group. And I don't remember what it was specifically. I wrote it down. It was something like, oh, you know, because you don't do this, the PBs have to take to the streets or something. And that was said by a non-PB member. And we've confirmed that that person's not a PB in the Portland area. And what's really funny, too, is that the PBs actually issued a statement and said these guys were not part of the Proud Boys. They were instead mimicking our attire. Isn't that insane? The Proud Boys literally were like, nah, that wasn't us. If we were there, that shit would have never happened in the first place. So it was just amazing to me that so many people, because here's the thing. If you want an example of what people should do, and what I always talk about is standing up there and being a force, when I always talk about doing that, right? And I do it all the time. And when I get hard on some of these people, they act like, oh, you're a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. You want to know what the best example was? Who watched that worship event last night in the city of Portland? In the same exact place as this happened. Matter of fact, I think I do have just a second of it. Yeah, see, it's this stupid Chrome. I'm going to stop using Chrome. I just like it because it mutes the tabs. It was really great when we were doing protests all the time, but we don't do the protests all the time now. So let me zoom this out just a little bit. I don't know if this is going to make it any better. Not really. Whatever. Look. So, how many of you guys watched this? And this was amazing, by the way. You never stop working. Oh, God. I don't know what's going on with this. I think it's Google Chrome. It sucks. I apologize, guys. Anyway, so this was last night. This, keep in mind, this is the same exact spot where all the other people were attacked on a day earlier. This guy, his name is Sean Fouch or whatever. I believe that's his name. He's a traveling guy with We Will Worship, I think the group is. And they were in Seattle, I think the day before. And they came down to Portland after they saw what was happening in Portland. They came down to Portland and they brought their security with them. And it was all Portland people, but it was like the difference in the way they interacted. You know, the way that everybody, because Antifa showed up as well during the day. And you'll be able to see that. I'm not going to show a bunch of the video because I forgot to ask Villain earlier if I could use his video. So I'm not going to show it too much. And I could, but I try to. The people that I like, I try to talk to them, you know, before I use it. But later on, you know, there was some confrontation. I'm going to talk about that in a second. But the initial event that took place was awesome. And anybody who watches it, you know that. For one, it was amazing when they're, you know, they were basically praying over the city of Portland and saying, we're not going anywhere. These people here, they're not going anywhere. As bad as it gets, they'll keep fighting against it, you know, and they'll keep, you know, spreading the word of God and all that stuff. And I'm not a religious person, but I'll be honest. I don't know what it was. I told my wife and she's like, you're a weirdo. It's just because of the drugs, because my wife isn't religious at all. And, you know, I teared up at one part, just listening to the songs and all that stuff and just getting caught up in the emotion and especially feeling that feeling what I felt over the past year over the past year now, you know, past 18 months about what's been going on in Portland, you know, with all the riots and the vandalism and the murder and destruction and police officers and all the people that I talk to all the time from that area. I felt better yesterday watching it. It's hard to explain. I don't know what it was. And there's always one religious song and I don't remember what it is now. Every time I hear it, I don't know why, it just brings like a tear, solemn, one single tear to my eye. I don't know what it is. And then I listen to it over and over. But it was just crazy. Like with all the people that were there, all the worshipers, and just seeing how so many people were there, even knowing what happened before, even knowing that Antifa attacked women and children and that they were calling to attack this group of worshipers. Just a day later, they were advertising it all over social media. And, you know, was tweeting it out to everybody, you know, so everybody knew. Even, I mean, the Sean Fuchs. I don't know how you say it. SEANFEUCHT. That's how you. And he's with We Will Worship. You guys can look him up. He's just a very amazing person, apparently. It was literally how I would describe what an event should look like when you know you're going to have opposition from Antifa. And I mean that because the people that were there, you know, and they're all different groups. According to Villain in his live feed yesterday, he said there were at least four different groups of patriots, you know, and I use quotations because I hate that word now. It's been overused and villainized too much for me to like using that word. But they're Americans. God-fearing Americans that were there to literally protect the women and children. And you know what? Sean Fuchs, if you actually listen to what he was saying yesterday, he actually said it's time men have to start doing that. He said that. He stopped playing music at one point, and he was talking about how Antifa is out there and all this stuff, and he's got security, and it's time. And then he said, I'm speaking to all the men out there. It's time you start protecting everything. It's, you know, this is it. This is it. And the way they conducted themselves. And everyone talks about far-right violence and all this stuff that happened. Every single news outlet wrote some bullshit, you know, especially the left side, you know, news outlets from Portland. They all wrote about right and left and blah, 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 and ignoring the fact that you guys want, if anyone has a question about what happened yesterday in Portland, go watch this feed. He's got 24,000 views on it already. Go to YouTube and watch Villain Report on YouTube with his video from last night, Christian Worship Event in Downtown PDX. Watch that whole video because you're going to see the way Antifa really reacts. You're going to see, and the BCP was live too, and I don't know his new page. I think it's the BCP Preacher, but BCP Preacher is all one word. And then it's hard to find the page. I don't know why. YouTube is just shadow banning him. But if you go to his page, because he was actually getting some really good interviews, Villain was kind of up listening to the music and just watching them, which is why I was watching his feed the most, because I, you know, I just like music and all that stuff. And I don't know. I was feeling it last night when I was watching it. And, but Quincy was talking to the Antifa and getting different messages. And every single time something happened where Antifa would get too loud or when a patriot would lose their temper, these people came in and said, nah, You know, the Patriots came in and said, we're not here for that. They de-escalate. I would love for someone to actually go through the video and ask how many, or and count how many times, you know, the one big dude, Tiny, said de-escalate. Because that is what I'm talking about, where you have a show of force when people actually show up. And I'm not talking like, I mean, granted, there were 1,000 or so worshipers, probably more than that, worshipers, maybe 30 Antifa that were there. But you had maybe 200 people armed patriots. And when I say armed, I'm, you know, the whole LARPing gallop. And I'm not saying LARPing in a bad way. You know, bulletproof vests, batons, masks, everything that they actually need if Antifa does show up. They had all that stuff on and they stood there. You know, they just did a great job. That's how it's supposed to be. It looked professional. The way they acted was professional. Everything about it was amazing. And they talked. That's the thing is they didn't, it wasn't, there was no going back, and it wasn't like, F you, Antifa. Oh, you know, it wasn't the same kind of stuff when there are times where people just want to go out and fight. You know, F-O, you know, F-A-F-O, all that stuff. I get that. Trust me, I understand that 100%. But yesterday, it was not about that. It was about showing the city and showing the people that were there that wanted to come out and worship that you had their back and that they were going to be safe doing it. And you know what? They were. Second Antifa showed up, the groups just, you know, basically blocked their entrance while letting everybody else go through. And for, what, 2-3 hours, just kept everyone at bay. Everyone at bay. Yeah, there were flare-ups. Yeah, but the amazing thing to me is there's conversations. And then Antifa marched off. Right at the end, Antifa marched off, and then they started, you know, randomly attacking people as they were walking away, because that's what Antifa does. You know, they started attacking cars as they were driving away. They were throwing these caltrops, I think that's what they're called, I don't know. These welded pieces of rebar that are meant so any side that it lands on, it's automatically going to pop a tire. You know, it's always got the sharp end up. So they were throwing those all over the road to try to stop cars and catch all these people, all these God-fearing worshipers. And keep in mind, the people that Antifa was targeting, they always say they target racists. They always say they target Proud Boys and all that stuff. No. Yesterday, they were attacking people that just were there to listen to music from, you know, someone, listen to pray. That's all they were there for. And Antifa was attacking him. And you'll see video online. And the funny thing is, and we'll talk about it. So here, there's this article that I'm not sure if any of you guys read. This article's so bad on so many different levels. It really is. Hold on, let me just make that so it's the right size. This article's so bad. This is by opb.org. And okay, I know they're super left anyway, but just bear with me. A familiar sight returned to downtown Portland this past weekend. Armed far-right groups engaged in violent clashes with counter-protesters. Now, I tell you, from a journalism standpoint, horrible journalism. Because for one, they identify armed far-right. Far-right is a derogatory term. No matter what anybody says, far-right is a derogatory term. It's just like saying Antifa. It's because Antifa is a derogatory terrorist organization. When you say far right, you're automatically linked to those far right groups. The violence happened in two separate religious events and brought out a number of familiar faces to protests, including a Southwest Washington man who had been federally charged in the Capitol. So they just try to go crazy. Now, this is kind of funny. While the two groups exchanged volleys of mace, paintballs, and fireworks throughout the downtown Sunday night, Portland police took no steps to intervene. Controversial Christian singer and anti-COVID restriction activist Sean, how is he controversial? So OPB calls him controversial Christian singer and anti-COVID restriction activist Sean Fouch returned to Portland on Sunday to hold a religious concert. The concert was on the one-year anniversary of his first Portland event, which was designed to openly defy health guidelines enacted at the start of the pandemic. It wasn't. I don't believe that's why they were there last year. And I covered it last year, and I was amazed by so many people went out to it. This guy's got a huge following. Following Fauci's concert, people who were contracted as security, including notorious Proud Boy and street brawler Tiny, began charging at counter-protesters in the area. Now, that's false. If you actually watch the video, and that's why I said, Villain Report on YouTube right now, you can watch. This is the problem that the local journalists, they don't They're not honest. They say they immediately started charging at Antifa. No. If you actually watch the video, you see what happened. Antifa started throwing stuff and throwing these big cow traps and throwing concrete blocks and fireworks into the road at people, and not at the Proud Boys or not at any of these groups that were providing security. No, they were doing it at innocent people. And then the security guys were like, no. And they literally ran up to the road. They stopped. And then they ran up again and they stopped, same way the riot squads do in the protests and everything, to push it back to allow cars to go through. It's amazing, because if you actually watch a real video, guess what you see? You see exactly what I just said. They move up the road, they push back the Antifa who are throwing rocks and throwing all this stuff at them, and then they let all the cars go through so all the people can get out of this place, which Antifa was trying to stop them from leaving so they could attack their vehicles. The way the OPB, and I know they're left, okay? I know that, but I think it's important to just read, because a lot of news outlets rely on this. A lot of the Portland residents rely on this. If you want to know what actually happened, go watch a video. BCP has a live video from last night. It's 29 minutes, I believe, because his phone shut off right as it happened. So you can watch the end of his long video, and then you see a short video, 29-minute video, after the Antifa people spray everybody. It's just amazing. And then they go on to say that set off extended clashes, including one incident pointed what appeared to be a rifle at journalists and other people who were following him, which again was much, much later. And what people don't like to mention, and you can see the video here, it's the guy with a gun, fake gun, walking down the road. It was an airsoft gun. Again, there's something wrong with this guy. And that was kind of one of the things that I was talking about. Like, listen, if you're going to go to a protest and you decided that, okay, that's that role. You want to be that tough guy that goes out and does whatever you do at a protest to counter that or to keep people safe. That's fine. I get that. You know, even though I may disagree with it and I may jibber jab with you on social media or, you know, piss you off, apparently, that's fine. But why would you bring a fake gun? There's something just not right with that dude. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be mean to him. I don't know, you know, what it is, but you bring an airsoft lookalike gun that's like literally asking to get shot by someone that has a real one. If that guy, if I was there and he pointed that at me, guess what? He'd be laid out. You know, that's just how it is in real life. But apparently, and this is what's funny, because the actual news and anyone who actually does a tiny bit of research when you do any reporting at all, before you report on something, you will actually find out what really happened. So from last night until probably today around 2 o'clock, everyone was like, this guy with a gun, Trump supporter, the far right guy, he had a real gun, AK-47, AR-15, everyone was reporting it that. News outlets even reported it. And then guess what? You actually find out it was a fake gun. While it shows him walking away while he's talking on the phone, while he turns, he's on the phone. That's why he has one hand. And he turns back to the guy and points it at him. He's on the phone with the police. They're literally directing him where to walk. Everyone is complaining because the police never arrived. Guess what? They were on the phone with him telling him where to walk. He probably was like, I got a fake gun and they're chasing me and I don't know what to do. It's fake. I was just coming out here to play LARPing or something, you know? And so my guess is that's what he did. He told them it was a fake gun. They walk up. You could see if you actually zoom in on the video, it's clearly fake if you know anything about guns. But I can get where it's nighttime and it's dark and you're scared. Because you're anti-fun, you're not used to anything real. But he does. He walks up, and there's a video later of him walking up to police. You know, they don't take anything from him. He's just got it down the side. They tell him to put his hand on his head and just walk back towards other officers as all these protesters are screaming, why are you arresting him, Mike? Because they already knew it was a fake gun. It's just insane, you know, and then this article goes on to say how, you know, that the police never came to break up. And I know a lot of people are saying that. I heard Quincy say it. I heard Villain say that. I saw the people in the chat saying, how come the Portland Police Bureau isn't out here stopping this volley between the Antifa and patriots that were out there? Because the Portland police has been defunded. They're short 20% of 20% of their staffing level. They are short 20% of their staffing. They normally have a full staff of 335 officers that are on patrol. Total. That's if they're fully staffed. Guess what? They don't have that number. Their riot squad, the team that typically would respond to this kind of event, they all resigned. in June, we covered that. They resigned because the DA is corrupt and an Antifa scumbag himself, and he lets all these Antifa guys out all the time, but charges police officers for stopping people from harming them. It's amazing. But everyone was like, even on the Patriots side, they're like, where are the police? Where are the police? How come the police aren't stopping it? And I understand. I want to make that perfectly clear, because a lot of people are think that I just don't understand what happens there. And I know that, or you don't undersee that, or you don't see that protesters, that if you're on the right and you're a protester, you get treated worse than you do if you're on the left and you get arrested. No, I completely understand that. I see it all the time. I've been seeing it probably more. Everyone's isolated on Portland. I streamed the protests for a year and a half, nonstop. All the protests across the country, we see it there's so many examples of it being shown where people that are on the right, when they get arrested for doing stuff lesser than other people, we got 50 plus people sitting in solitary confinement for doing the same exact thing that everyone did last year. I mean, seriously, I don't need a lesson on saying, well, you know, people on the right are treated differently. No shit. That's common knowledge. It doesn't mean that police are bad. It means they're following whatever orders they have to. And the people that are arresting them and the people that are actually making those charges and charging decisions, guess who they're not? They're not the police. So when you're charged, when you're charged with a crime, like, for example, there's two, I forgot, Joey Gibson's one of them. And there's another one that's charged with rioting in Portland from 2019. He's on the right, so his riot charge is stuck, and they're still pursuing it, even though he's filed, you know, lawsuit after lawsuit to be like, why are you charging me with rioting for a fight that took place when you literally dropped charges against Antifa, hundreds and hundreds, 700 plus Antifa people that were charged with rioting over the past year? You're refusing to charge them. So, I mean, everyone who thinks that I don't understand that they're treated differently, I do. But here's the thing. They're not treated differently by police. They're treated differently by the charging institutions that are holding them. Because here, when you watch what actually happens, and maybe it's just because I have an outside looking in view, okay? Maybe that's my problem, because I'm not out there, you know, punching Antifa in the face and going all crazy and acting all tough when I'm marching around. You know, maybe it's because I don't do that. And yes, I sit from the comfort of my home or the office or wherever I am when I'm doing the live stream of all the protests. Yes, it's different. We do go out there. We just don't go out there as much. And I'll be honest, if I know that there's going to be confrontation, I'm likely not going to go out there. I'm a hothead, okay? And I'll fully admit that to the... I mean what I said. If a Patriot points a gun at me, I'm going to react the same exact way as I will if Antifa does or anybody else. That's how I am. So why am I going to go put myself in a position where someone could say, like, hey, punk, and just set me off? That's who I am. I'm just not going to do it. You know what I mean? Because there isn't just a switch where I could be like, oh, this is my patriotic duty and I'm just going to go and I'll stop when I need to stop. If anyone has if anyone can relate to the type of what is the right word? I don't have that off button, okay? And it's a very bad thing, and it's gotten me into trouble in the past. I don't have that thing that just says, okay, enough, Steve, you made your point. I don't have it. Okay, so I'm not going to go out in a place and I'm not going to just start beating people up left and right. And then as much as I want to, you know, it's just not who I am. And I'm not trying to criticize the people that do go out and have that restraint where they could stop themselves when it gets to that point. The problem is that people in right now in this Patriot movement, everyone feels that they have the victim mentality, I guess, is the easiest way to say it. The victim mentality that people have on the left, the right, everywhere, is just, it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, and I've said it, we have to stop being victims. You know, and we really do. If you stop allowing yourself to be a victim, remember when I was at the protest in Virginia? And the one cameraman, he kept talking about, I'm a victim. I got pushed. I'm a victim. And I'm like, bro, you got pushed by a little girl, dude. You got pushed by a girl and you were pissed because you got arrested. And then you're forgetting to mention the fact that you slapped your camera out of her hand and then stomped on her hand. We already knew you did that. You're pretending you didn't. And then you're running around as a grown man saying you're a victim because of a girl that pushed you. I mean, I made a whole show about it afterwards. And I'm like, the victim mentality that people have nowadays, it doesn't matter what party you're on. It doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right. You know, so everyone, no matter what, like, I got so much hate mail yesterday after that video. Oh, man, you're a fair weather patriot. because what? Because I just don't have the same mentality out there. There's literally someone on my YouTube page that said, well, I'm just going to go start killing Antifa. You can't, come on. It's stupid. It's stupid. Yeah, dude, they all deserve to lock up and be locked up in jail. Sure. But you can't, for one, you can't say that kind of thing. And two, it's nothing I'm ever going to support, nor will I ever support anyone for chastising a police department that's been attacked relentlessly with no support from their superiors, their town, their community, anybody. I'm not going to stand by and allow people to sit there or even condone. But and see, here's the thing is I have a social media platform. People know that I watch all these things all the time. If I didn't come out strong and say, hey, that so-called patriot sitting there, you know, chewing out police officers and telling pastors to go F themselves and calling everybody the, you know, derogatory F word. If I don't say that that is not acceptable. There is one person, if even only one, that's going to be like, well, Steve didn't say that. That's wrong. I have that responsibility, even, and it's one that I didn't think about when I started doing this show. And I know a lot of people don't get it. But it's I have a responsibility where I have to constantly watch what I say all the time. I have to and make sure, even if there is one way I feel, because there's always someone that's going to take it to a fringe level. You know, and the same thing goes when I say, and when I stop myself in saying something or I cross that invisible barrier into what other people find not acceptable. Here's the thing. I will never, ever, and I've said this a million times on my platform. I will never, ever support anybody chastising police officers, swearing at police officers, especially not the men and women that are work in Portland, Oregon, ever. You can sit there and talk about, oh, woe is me. Oh, you have such a hard time. those people in Portland, Oregon have faced more shit. Literally. They've literally had it thrown at them. Feces thrown at them. Night after night after night after night. And they still got up to do their job. You know? When I was in D.C. on December 12th and we were covering, you know, where the PBs and all the other patriots were marching around the city trying to find Antifa, and I was with them filming and doing all that stuff. And people came up, you know, there was that line where Antifa was on the other side. And maybe you guys, if you watch my live feed, you remember, but there was a line. It was at night. There was a line where you had the D.C. Metro Police Department. You had some barriers. And on the other side of the road, you had a D.C. Metro Police Department barriers and then the Antifa guy. And the police, you had maybe six cops on the Patriot side with thousands of us there. And then you had maybe 40 cops for like 20 Antifa on the other side of the road. And it was the most clear understanding. Yeah, did they stop the way we were all marching and all that? Absolutely. But they knew that they could ask us to go. And we went, and there's, I believe I have it on film. If not, someone else saw it because I remember seeing it on video. One of the guys said, why are you always so hard on patriots? And the cop says, because I know you will listen. Because with Antifa, if we tell them to stop doing the crimes that they're about to do, or to stop, or to turn around, or to do something else, they're not going to. They're going to assault us. We know that if we tell the patriots that, hey, you are going to do something criminal here, that chances are the Patriots are going to be like, okay, common sense kicks in at some point. Now I know, again, I'm a big Gangs of New York fan. I said this the other day. I secretly, while I was watching what happened yesterday, after seeing all the caltrops and all that stuff and realizing that the police wasn't coming, I was thinking that that's what kind of scenario was going to happen last night. It didn't. Everyone, you know, they ran away, and the Patriots were like, we're not here to do this. We're not here to beat everybody up. That's literally what the left thinks all the time. That's what the media portrays us as. They didn't do that. If you watch the videos last night, you will see it. And I encourage everyone that says that the Patriots were the ones that were on the offensive last night, please watch. Please watch Villain Report's video. Please watch BCP's video. don't believe those little segments that are posted on Twitter by you know, communists. I mean it. You literally had a guy that was saying that he's pressed with a nice camera, and I don't know his name, and I almost thought about just posting his picture up and saying, I want to know who this is. Because he's literally sitting there, and he's yelling at everybody, and he's like, they were like, why are you, like, the Patriots were talking to him, like always, and he was yelling, he was irate. Big, tall guy with a green shirt, and he had the press bulletproof vest jacket on, and the press helmet and all that stuff, and he had the nice camera. And he's yelling at everybody. He's like, oh. And they're like, what? And Quincy, I think, asked him. And he's like, what about them throwing, you know, these flashbangs at women and children? And he's like, that wasn't Antifa. That wasn't these guys. That was the Proud Boys. Quincy's like, no. No, I was there. I'm the one that captured it. As far as I know, Quincy's the only one that captured that initial volley. And he's like, the Proud Boys weren't there. That was thrown by Antifa. And the guy's like, ugh. Didn't say anything. Well, actually, no. He said, well, Sergio Almos posted a video that didn't even say, you know, didn't do anything. And that's the thing. Sergio Almos is a reporter, journalist with these local news outlets there in Portland. But he also lies consistently in his reporting. He does it. Go to his Twitter page. Look at everything. And again, everything that I've said in the timeline that I've said tonight is 100% accurate. I challenge anyone to try to disprove what I said. Because it's 100% accurate in terms of the way everything progressed, including Saturday. But for some reason, it's just people like it more when you can go out and you could just lie and you can just make it up, or you could be victim. You could be the victim. You know what I mean? And that's frustrating to me. And I do take offense to it. And yeah, I personally, yesterday, you know, on a personal level, I took offense to what I heard. And that's why I made the video that I did yesterday, where I called out the so-called Patriots that went out on Saturday. Because here's the difference. I couldn't distinguish between them. The only difference is they weren't, well, some of them weren't wearing masks that covered their face, and they weren't dressed in black. That was the only difference that of the actions that I saw. I saw them attack random people for filming them. I saw them cursing and yelling and swearing in front of children and women. And then I saw them, you know, literally being the same people that they detest. That's not patriotic to me. And maybe I just had a flawed idea of patriotism. I don't know. And again, there is a time for people to go up and fight. You know, I saw a lot of comments who were like, oh, you say use hands. Well, you know, what's hands going to do against a weapon? What? My criticism is that people, when you go to these fights, these, you know, gatherings, these pat on the back sessions or hair pulling sessions, whatever you want to call them, everyone just they get like 10 feet away and they spray each other and they shoot each other with pepper ball guns. You know what hands are going to do when someone maces you? They're going to defend you. You know, and maybe it's just who I am. You know, we grew up on, as kids, we had like little mini gangs of New York fights with all the neighborhood kids. I grew up with a shit ton of brothers. We used to have fights right in our front yard with the neighborhood kids that had as many of us. You know, that's what we did. You know, we didn't pick up sticks and start beating each other. We didn't do that kind of stuff. And when I say like neighborhood fights, yeah, we fought. You know, I have a lot of brothers and we would sit out in the front. And it was literally like all those old movies where you have five or six kids on one side, five or six on the other, and you meet in someone's front yard, beat the crap out of them. That's what I grew up with. You know, so I don't understand. I just don't understand the mentality that you just have to bring a bunch of the whatever. I'm not even going into that anymore. But I mean, for the record, if anyone doesn't understand, I'm a staunch supporter of police. And anyone who's known me for years and years and years, you know, I know my brother sometimes watches the show. I know other family members do. You understand. You know, I've had a really not great life. Most of it my doing. You know, and I respect people that wear that uniform more now than I ever do or ever did, even, you know, more now than I did even last year. And I respect all those Portland police officers that are there every day, knowing they're understaffed, knowing that they're in the, one of the highest murder rate, you know, the growing murder rates. What is it? 320% is what it was a couple of months ago. 320% increase in murders. And these guys are still going out every day. They're still there after getting bottles full of piss and shit and all that stuff thrown at them. Family members, you know, doxxed, chased out. Yeah, we... For anyone that calls themselves a patriot to do that to police and chastise those police officers, I'm sorry. To me, you're not a patriot. You know, you're just not. You're not, I mean, shit, it's the most anti-American thing you could possibly do. You know, and the beauty of me having a platform is I can say that. And you guys could be like, well, you just don't know what happens all the time. I watch Beverly Hills. I watched what happened in Beverly Hills with the Trump rallies. Remember that? Remember the Trump rallies? Right after the election, they shut them down. They wouldn't allow them to go anymore. Those Trump rallies that happened in Beverly Hills were one of the best things you ever see. Yeah, Antifa would show up and the police would move them and allow the Trump rallies. Thousands of people there. They'd march down the main strip in Beverly Hills and chant and all that stuff. And it was great. Second the election happened, it stopped. And I remember watching all those, the Trump supporters that were in those rallies going, why? What changed? You know, at that time, the election wasn't even, we didn't even know what happened with that. And they're like, why? So we can't be out here anymore? And yet Antifa is still allowed to run rampant in these cities across America. Trust me. I mean, everyone knows that if you're on the right now, you're being villainized. It doesn't even matter if it's by police. You're literally, if you're on the right, what was it? A CNN, CNN's Brianna Kellyer. She went on. I forgot where she was. She blamed coronavirus in on Republican Fox viewers. I mean, think about it. It doesn't even matter. That's factually incorrect. The disproportional percentage of people that are unvaccinated happen to be African American and Latinx people, I believe. It's not white people, certainly not Republican, you know, Fox viewers. How you even get that data, it doesn't even matter. But people could say that stuff. People could say that. Don Lemon can get up and say, well, I don't believe people that are unvaccinated should be able to go into shopping centers. De Blasio could say, I don't believe people that are unvaccinated should be able to go to the gyms. And congressional candidates from California could say, if you're unvaccinated, I should be able to shoot you. Every single thing I just said is real. And yet, look at how the Patriot Party, like, look how patriots and the right, look what we choose to pick and bicker about each other with. Here's my real question, because I was thinking about this with Los Angeles or the London protests that I was watching this morning, where they're out marching around for, you know, for the COVID passports. And then I switched. There was a freedom rally. Tara with the Polish American Brotherhood on YouTube. You could watch her video that's on YouTube now. She was in live in New York City for hours today. And there was a rally about COVID and the lockdowns that are taking place there and all this stuff and the vaccine passport that now you have to have. And one of the commentators was pretty good because he's like, remember when we were all called conspiracy theorists for talking about the vaccine passports? And he's like, yeah, fast forward 8 months. Guess what? It's vaccine passports. And they do. They have vaccine passports now in New York City. But shortly, that's going to happen everywhere. You know, in my school district today, I don't know, maybe 100 kids, high schoolers, walked out of their school today to protest masks. That is the American thing to do. That's what the American thing is to do. These kids didn't want to wear masks. They didn't make that choice to wear the mask. You know? And they said, I don't want to be here. And they walked out of the school. And likely mainstream media is not going to pay much attention to it. But if I find out they're doing it tomorrow, you guys will all know. And then you can make sure mainstream media knows. Because I'll have this LiveU backpack, this camera up here, and I'll be out there filming it. Because that's amazing. And more people need to do that every single day. More people, if you're opposed to these vaccines, and you're not opposed to the vaccine, you're opposed to the vaccine mandate, and that's what's really important to tell people. Because it's not, you can be opposed personally, but that shit shouldn't matter to anybody else. What I choose to do in my body shouldn't matter at all. The objection that I have and what I get pissed about and the reason I'm so, my wife is vaccinated or starting. She's on the start. All of our family members are vaccinated. You know what I mean? I'm the only one out of the majority of the adults that I actually know and interact with on a daily basis. I'm probably the only one that's unvaccinated. I don't judge them for getting vaccinated. That's what Fox News, or that's, well, even Fox News, that's what all these mainstream media outlets want you to believe. But it, in all reality, that's not the case. Well, I personally just don't see enough benefit for me to take the COVID vaccine. I think everyone has the right to make the determination on what goes on in their body. Just like everyone has the right to go out and protest. And everyone has the right to stand up for what they believe in. But for some reason in America, you can only protest if you're on the left. Otherwise, you're considered far right. You're considered Trump supporters or Republicans or whatever the going term is for that day. But it's funny. Yeah, that I don't think, well, you guys did hear that beep. That beep is stars on Facebook. I guess they're still on, but. But yeah, they do something new on Facebook too with the stars. I don't know what it means. Hold on, I just wanted to see. Sorry, I just zoned out because I was reading a comment. See, here's the thing, everyone. Someone in the this is why I'm going to stop with the comments, because I don't want to do these social media wars. Everyone was just asking, why is Jake pissing on you like a toddler or something like that. That was a comment on Facebook. They're talking about behind enemy lines. Okay, I'm not even going to touch on it. But for one, he's not a Proud Boy, that's confirmed. Two, he acted like a fucking idiot on Saturday. And three, he decided to bring me into it when he was well off my radar. I don't even know who the damn dude is. I don't even care about him. But then he wants to talk about how I'm, not his definition of what a patriot or even conservative is. So he tried, and that's what people do in this social media game. And I've realized that, and, you know, to be honest, I don't care anymore. Because to me, what I want to say, and the reason why so many people watch is because they want to hear the real news, and you don't want to get worried about, you don't want to listen to me, you know, lose my focus and just start going off in the chat. And I'm not, and so I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'm not even going to pay attention to the chats. I was just coming in here to shut off that stupid sound that keeps going off in my ears when people send the stars. Because again, if you guys want to send stars, you can, I guess, until we turn that monetization off. But just keep in mind that for every penny you're giving me, every star that you're giving me, you're putting money in the pockets of Facebook. So I'd much rather, if you want to support me, just go to citizenstringer.com/support or just sign up and become a member on PTNN. You know, that's the easiest way. You'll notice on YouTube, we do not have YouTube memberships. We turned off all monetization there. Again, YouTube gets 30%, but if I want to say my opinion about COVID vaccines and get a little, you know, out there on what I'm allowed to say on their platform, they want to demonetize me for a week and not allow me to go live. No, you're not going to make any money off me. But anyway, in terms of Jake, whatever, dude, I don't care. You know, he's just kind of lost it because I was going into social media, you know, back and forth with him. I mean, he's one of those guys I got to give it to him, and I will do this. I'll give it to him. He's always out there. I just humbly, when we talk about the person that yelled at the cops, especially someone that goes out and covers all these protests and knows how the police in these areas are treated, for someone like that to talk to police that way, you're not a patriot in my book. You're not. And that's fine. You may be a patriot to all your other buddies, but you should stop chanting that you're a Proud Boy while you're marching down the street, because that's going to piss off the wrong person there, buddy. Anyway, what else? What other thing I want to talk about today is just the mass shootings that took place yesterday, and then I'm going to be done. Adam has got a show that he's going to be doing at 9 o'clock. Adam, I'm sorry, I know you're watching this. I'm going to run like probably 5 minutes late. Seven mass shootings claim the lives of four and leave 31 injured on Sunday alone. That's yesterday alone. And I want everyone to think about this. And you wonder why police don't have time to do things. And you wonder why police may be understaffed and not overworked and all that same stuff. That in why crime is run rampant across the country. Listen to what I'm about to tell you, because this is crazy. In Chicago, just yesterday, seven people were shot inside a lounge yesterday morning, with one person killed, six others injured. A verbal altercation between a 24-year-old man and a 37-year-old man ended in gunfire. The younger man pulled a gun, killed the older man. Five men and women were also struck by the resulting gunfire. The 24-year-old man was also critically wounded after being shot eight times. A short time earlier, a gunman opened fire on two guards who refused to let him into the club. Both of the guards were shot multiple times. Three other people were also shot. From Saturday night to Sunday morning, 41 people were injured and five killed in Chicago alone. That's a 12-hour period, mind you. Let's go to the next one. Washington, D.C. Four people were shot in a mass shooting early Sunday morning. All were transported to the hospital with injuries not believed to be life-threatening. From Saturday night to Sunday morning, two people were killed. At least eight people were injured by gunfire in D.C., and at least four additional people were stabbed during the same period. In Houston, a man was killed and five others injured after a fight broke out in a bar early Sunday morning. According to police, the shooting took place around 2 a.m. after a fight broke out and spilled into a parking lot. Police do not have any suspects in custody with the shooting. There were at least seven additional shootings from Saturday night to Sunday morning, leaving at least one dead and seven wounded. That's in addition to the mass shooting in Houston alone. New Orleans. A 17-year-old is believed to be the gunman behind a mass shooting in Bourbon Street early Sunday morning. I know it's the second shooting in 2 weeks in Bourbon Street. This time it was a 17-year-old kid who shot five other people. All those people are expected to survive. However, later Sunday, another, which I believe it happened at 3:13 in the morning or 3:10 in the morning, another shooting occurred on the east side of the city, killing one and injuring three others. No suspect information was available for that one. There were at least five other shootings Saturday night to Sunday morning in New Orleans alone, killing one and injuring, with at least five other people injured. In Brooklyn, New York, two people were killed and another three people were injured when gunfire rang out at a party around 2:30 a.m. Sunday morning. According to police, two people were shot inside a home after a fight. Right outside, three other people were located, shot inside a crashed vehicle right outside the location. Police say one of the men in the vehicle died. The vehicle appeared to have been in an accident. I already said that. There are at least another five shootings across New York City Saturday night into Sunday morning, leaving at least eight injured and one person confirmed dead. Do you know what the one commonality is between all those cities, besides the fact that they all had mass shootings? They were all Democrat-controlled cities. This weekend alone, in the past 72 hours, as of around 8:30 this morning, there were 369 separate shootings that took place across America. 131 people killed, 355 people injured. Just by gun violence. That doesn't include all the stabbings and arsons and people beat to death. 369 shootings. Minneapolis right now is under a gang war because a gang member was apparently killed on Saturday at a gas station. And so now they're just going around shooting each other. I think there's been eight shootings since yesterday afternoon. We can sit here all we want and argue about. I mean, this goes out to all the patriots and all the Democrats. And we can sit here and argue infrastructure. We can argue about how bad the other group is. Until we wake up. That number, that 369 shootings in a 72-hour period, is going to keep going up. Either tomorrow or Wednesday, I'm going to be analyzing the complete data from the from January 20 of this year versus January 20 of 2016. And then we'll see. It's kind of interesting, right? Because we already know in the first 100 days, Biden exceeded Trump's mass shooting and death and injured by dozens. Imagine what it's going to be now, as because literally every day someone's dying, including police officers. Over 185 police officers have died in the line of duty this year. It is August 9th. To say we don't have a problem right now and to say we don't, that we are this close to being lost is insane. With that said, that's going to do it for today's episode of Wake Up America. Please, guys, this show is available as a podcast. You could search Wake Up America podcast. You could download it. There'll also be a link on the app and stuff tomorrow. I don't have it up. I'm going to start working on the app again. And also, if you want to support my show, you can do so by visiting citizenstringer.com/support or just go to ptnn.tv and sign up there. If you sign up for a membership there, that is the best way you support my show. You support Adam's show. And guess what? We have a new show that's starting. They did one season already, so we're going to have their 8 or 9 episodes, Thought Villains. And I'll tell you everything about them tomorrow because I'm going to do a show starting at 7 o'clock, and then I'm going to air one of their episodes live across all the platforms so everyone can watch it. And then you guys, everyone that has a PTNN membership, again, you could sign up and get a free membership as well. You just can't watch the live streams, but everyone who has a membership can watch it there. Thought Villains is a new show we're going to have on. So we're pretty excited about that. Two new hosts. And, we're doing stuff, guys. I appreciate everyone for tuning in. We will see you all tomorrow.